Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon lesson for this morning comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. David also said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished." The word of the Lord. What advice do you want to pass down to the next generation? If you're just out of school or younger, maybe that thought hasn't crossed your mind yet. But as you get older, and I think especially as you start having kids, you start to think about that question. There's so much you could say, so many life lessons you've learned along the way. You've probably made some mistakes that you want them to avoid. So what would it be? If you could just boil it down into one thing, what advice would you give? In our sermon lesson for this morning, we hear a father give his son some final words of advice. King David knew that his time on earth was coming to an end. Soon his son Solomon would take over as the king of Israel, the king of God's people. And that was not an easy task. So David did something really smart. David gave his son a job to do. He gave him purpose and direction to help with the transition of power. And David also gave him some sound advice. He told him, "Be strong and do the work. Your God is with you. Your God will not fail you." David left his son Solomon with the monumental task of building the temple for the Lord. David had dreamed of creating a beautiful and spectacular sanctuary that would become the permanent dwelling place of God. The temple would replace the tabernacle. That was basically a tent that the Israelites had used during their wandering from Egypt to the Promised Land. But the Israelites weren't wandering anymore. They weren't living in tents. So why should the house of God be a tent? It was time for God to have a permanent, physical dwelling place among his people. And David really wanted to be the one to build the temple for the Lord. God had done so much for David. And now David wanted to do this great thing for God. The temple would stand as a testament to the faithfulness of God. It would be a monument of his greatness. David wanted to do it out of gratitude in his heart. The magnificence of the temple would draw people in from all over the world. And when they saw that temple, they would ask, "Who is the God the Israelites worship?" David wanted the temple to make the name of the Lord great. Excellent motives, right? I mean, if you're going to do something, do it for the right reason. And David seems to have had all the right reasons. He's going to do it out of thankfulness for what God has done for him. It's going to stand as a testament to God's greatness. He's going to use it to make the name of the Lord great. Certainly, God would want David to build this temple for him. Surely, God would want King David, the king after David's own heart, to do this for God. But God said no. God told David that he would not build the temple because he had waged too many wars and shed too much blood. David had to be devastated. After all, it was God who was the one who had commanded him to wage those wars, to shed that blood. And now because of that, he wouldn't be able to do this? You could imagine that David might have been really frustrated, maybe even angry with God. I mean, put yourself in David's shoes. Maybe we can think of an example in our time. Let's say you want to do something out of thankfulness for someone who's been very special in your life, maybe your parents or a mentor. And so you decide to cook their favorite meal. You invite them over for dinner, or maybe you're not a great cook, so you decide to order out from their favorite restaurant. And during dinner, you surprise them. You give them tickets to go on a cruise. Not just any cruise, No, this is on the world's best cruise ship. It's all-inclusive. They have a suite with a balcony overlooking the ocean. It's going to be the trip of a lifetime. And you want to do it out of thankfulness for all they've done for you. But they say no. They don't want to go on the trip. Imagine how upset you would be, how frustrated. All the extra hours you had worked, the double shifts, maybe even picked up a side hustle to help pay for those tickets. But they don't want to go. So you could imagine David getting upset, maybe even frustrated. But that's not what happened. Instead, David got even more excited because God told him that even though David wouldn't be able to build the temple, his son Solomon would. And so David got right to work. He started gathering the materials that would be needed to build the temple, the wood, the stone. David gave from his own treasury his own gold and silver, his own gems and precious metals. David wanted to do all that he could to make this process as easy as possible for his son. And when David was nearing the end of his life, he gathered all the Israelites to Jerusalem. And there in front of all of them, he gave Solomon his final words of advice: be strong and do the work. Be strong and do the work. So what's the work that God has given you to do in your life? God blesses many of us with vocations, careers, jobs that we can use to support ourselves and support our families, and those are wonderful blessings. And God also gives us spiritual work to do. And honestly, that work isn't all that different from the work of David and Solomon. Now, obviously, we're not going to build an Old Testament-style temple equipped for animal sacrifices and grain offerings. But just like David wanted that temple to make the name of the Lord great, we live our lives to make the name of the Lord great. The mission of every Christian is to hold high the saving name of Jesus for all the world to see. We live different lives. Jesus calls us the light of the world, the salt of the earth. It's our mission to make God's name great with our lives. But that's a lot easier said than done. And it's easy for us to talk about that here in church. You have pastors who give you ways that you can do that. They support you. You're surrounded by other Christians who want to do the same thing and are encouraging you. But as soon as you walk out those doors and go out into your mission field, then it gets a lot harder. Then it's not easy because there is so much that is competing for your time, your energy, your resources. It's so easy for us to lose focus on our goal as Christians. And that's why David's words of advice are just as relevant today as they were for Solomon. Be strong and do the work. Your God is with you. Your God will not fail you. There's a parallel with those words between Jesus' last words. Remember what Jesus said before he went up into heaven? He told them, go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That was the command, but then there was the promise. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That work is what Jesus has given us to do, to go and to make disciples, to make God's name great. And we all have a role to play in this work. God gave his church, his school, pastors, teachers, staff, ministers to help with this work. The key word is help. God never intended for just a few Christians to do all the work of the church. No, it's a total team effort. We all have a role to play. We all have work to do together. For example, you have decided that here you want to do Christian education. Hugely important, a big part of the lives of Christians. And so you have a Christian day school. You call teachers to come and teach in that day school. And they teach important subjects like reading, writing, math, all of those important things. But they also teach your kids about God's Word. They have hymnology classes, catechism, there's memory work. And most importantly, those teachers live and model Christ-like love and behavior. But teachers don't go home with students, and I think teachers and students are both happy about that. So that's where parents take over. And the parents help their kids with their memory work. They're supportive, encouraging. They volunteer at the school and help out with things when they can. And so together, teachers and parents, they work together to make God's name great in the lives of these little ones. Well, that's the perfect picture. Does it always work that way, though? Sometimes parents might be too involved or not as involved as they should be. Sometimes teachers think that they have to do everything. If they ever left, the place would fall apart without them. And those aren't good attitudes to have. And when a student fails in the classroom, there can be a lot of bitterness and finger-pointing. We fail to make God's name great. We fail to make God's name great in so many parts of our lives. We're supposed to be the light of the world, but so often we give into the darkness and fall into its sinful ways. We aren't always faithful with the work that God has given us to do. We failed to make God's name great. Thankfully, our spiritual security doesn't rest in our sinful hands. Instead, God sent us one who is faithful, one who could be strong, one who did all of the work. God sent Jesus. He lived a perfect life actively and passively. He did everything that we never could. He resisted the temptation of the devil. His perfect life meant that he could give the perfect sacrifice, something that none of those Old Testament sacrifices could. And Jesus' death paid for the sins of the whole world. It paid for your sins, paid for my sins. And that's what this is all about. God's done all the work of our salvation. There's nothing we could ever contribute to that. That work is done. But the work that God gives us is a joy. It's the work of spreading the good news about Jesus, that our sins are taken away, that heaven is waiting for us. That's the work that God gives us to do. And right now, God is opening many doors for ministry. We have schools that are bursting at the seams, that need teachers who are well-trained and who can model Christ-like love and behavior in the classroom. God's opening doors in inner cities with choice programs and vouchers. And our teachers, our schools there, they have a chance to be a beacon of light and hope, to be the only source of love and stability that child might get in his life. We have rapidly growing communities in our country that are primed for a mission church and a zealous pastor excited to share God's news with them. We just need the people to do it. And so if you're a young person here today, I would ask that you consider using the gifts, the talents that God has given you to serve him in the public ministry as a pastor, teacher, or a staff minister. Ministry can be hard work. There can be difficult and challenging days. But there's also a lot of joy in ministry, a lot of fulfillment, and you'll be amazed at what God can do through you. And if you decide to do something else, that's fine. That's great. God gives us so many different ways that we can serve him. Whatever you do with your life, you can use it to serve God and to serve his people. I'd ask that all of us continue to keep praying that God send out workers into his harvest field. Encourage one another. Encourage your called workers. If you know someone with the gifts and talents for ministry, talk to them. Encourage them. See if they can use those gifts that way. Keep on praying with each other. Support each other. Support the mission of the church through your time and your talents. There's a lot of work to be done. Be strong and do the work. David could say those words to Solomon because he knew where the strength was coming from. It wasn't coming from the wisdom of Solomon. It wasn't coming from the muscles of the Israelites. No, the strength was coming from God. They had the presence of God and his promises. We have God's presence. We have his promises too. God is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. So I'll ask you again. What words of advice do you want to pass down to the next generation? We could do a lot worse than what David told his son Solomon. May God give us the strength to carry out the mission of the church, to spread the good news about Jesus. Amen.